blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 53, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me in the quiet waters by. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 53.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to John, there of the 21st chapter. John 21, first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh, and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us now read the form for the administration of baptism, which you can find on page 126 in the back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God, through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, So are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized, as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee, that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. And what is your answer, Father and Mother Busicum? Father and Mother Andre Janssen. Father and Mother Robert Janssen. Father and Mother Rulofsen. And Father and Mother Van Driesten. Dear parents, we read here in this portion that the Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. You will feed your children, your little children, and that is your responsibility from the Lord, a moral responsibility that the Lord gives to you when he gives to you a child to take care of, a gift from God. And when you will feed your child, you will certainly feed him wholesome food. Because if you feed him food and that is unwholesome, that is not consistent with furthering the life of that child, but that is toward his disease and toward death. But is not the soul of our child of much greater significance than his body? And what is that soul? You know, it has three aspects, and that is the mind and the affections and the will. And thus we are called also to feed the soul of our children. Regeneration, you know as well as I, that is not our work. We cannot renew their soul. We cannot convert our children. But what is that exactly? Conversion, true conversion. I want to read to you for a moment. The Canons of Dort from Head 3, 4, Article 11, what that actually is. But when God accomplishes his good pleasure in the elect, or works in them true conversion, he not only causes the gospel to be externally preached to them and powerfully illuminates their mind by the Holy Spirit, that they may rightly understand and discern the things of the Spirit of God, but by the efficacy of the same regenerating Spirit pervades the inmost recesses of man. He opens the closed and softens the hardened heart, circumcises that which is uncircumcised, infuses new qualities into the will, which, though heretofore dead, he quickens from being evil, disobedient, and refractory. He renders it good, obedient and pliable and actuates and strengthens it, that like a good tree, it may bring forth the fruits of good actions. What a powerful, what a supernatural change is regeneration. Illuminating the mind, drawing the affections, the heart, it is here called, and renewing the will. There is no substitute for regeneration. Not all of our religion is a substitute for regeneration, because with all of our religion, the most that we can do is build up a self-righteousness of our own. But the Lord Jesus said unto Peter, "Feed my lambs." So is there something that the Lord is using as a means for that powerful regeneration that is men, that is his servants, that is also the upbringing by father and by mother? Feed my lambs. What is it now with which you will attempt to feed your children? Not their body, but their soul. With what will you attempt to feed their mind? Their mind. With what will you fill their mind? Because if we will fill their mind with all the things that are of this world, then we do not feed their soul, but we lead them into death. To fill their mind, that is part of feeding their soul, and to fill it with the Word of God, the precepts of God, the statutes of the Lord. With what will we attempt to draw their emotions, their affections? Because their affections are like our affections. In the midst of this world, our affections are drawn after the world, the vanity of the world, the carnality of the world. What will you now do as father and as mother, that the soul, that the affections of your children, to bring them unto that house of the Lord, to set that word of the Lord before them, that they may be drawn, drawn. You say, "Well, I cannot draw them." No, but the Lord, he says, feed them. To feed their souls. How will you try to feed, that you may train their will to make a choice, that good choice? Oh, we cannot do it. We know we cannot change their will. Only the Lord can change their will. Only the Lord can give them new affections. Only the Lord can give them that right understanding in their mind. And yet, that responsibility laid upon us as fathers and of mothers, the Lord give you a desire for your children, and that steadfastness and that faithfulness to feed not only their bodies, but also their souls, that they may be born again and that they may receive from the Lord life eternal. While the children are brought in, we'd like to sing from Psalter 278, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. And after baptism, we ask you, the congregation, to stand and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. So 278, 1, 4, and 5. Elena Abigail, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Edith Ann, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Quentin Marine, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Mitchell Henry, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Chantel Frida, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Pippa Jane, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Remember these parents, strengthen them in that task that Thou hast laid upon their shoulders, and grant them faithfulness in educating their children, and that they may be given themselves to know of the greatness of thy grace, that they may be also unto them an example, that thou may remember the grandparents and also the great-grandparents wherever that they may be, some far away and some in the nursing home in old age. But thou dost give that the generations do continue, and that they may be brought into thy house of prayer and come under those means of grace which they have found to be precious. O Lord, then thou dost answer also those cries of parents and of grandparents and of great-grandparents, that thou may give them a place at thy throne of grace, that thou may do still further, and that thou may bless the means for the seed that thou hast given unto them, that thou may remember thy people, for thou dost uphold thy institution, because thou dost also uphold thy own covenant, and it will never be undone, for it has been sworn in eternity, and thou art the unchangeable covenant God, that thou may give them to receive a little hope and expectation, and by true faith, that they may be given also to storm thy throne of grace in the midst of this our congregation, and that thou would work with might and with power by thy Holy Spirit, and that thou may give new ones indeed to be born in Zion. Do help us in the rest of this service, and give a little opening in thy holy word, and be amongst us in thy mercy as one that serveth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us now sing while your offerings are received from Psalter 399, stanzas 1, 2, and 3, and if necessary, stanza 4. My God, I will extol thee and ever bless thy name. Each day will I give thanks to thee and all thy praise proclaim. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 399. Thank you. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion read to you from John chapter 21, and they're of the last part of verse 15. John 21, verse 15, the last part, only these words, "He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." So far the words of our text. Peter commanded to feed Christ's lambs. First, acknowledgement of the lambs. He says, "My lambs." And secondly, his care for these lambs. He says, "He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." Peter commanded to feed Christ's lambs, first the acknowledgement of, and secondly the care for his lambs. Thus, our text that speaks about lambs, and in this whole portion, our text that is speaking about sheep, that is a reference of Christ to his own church. So he calls his sheep a flock. That is, his church a flock of sheep. That is, of course, a very tender picture of his people because of the character of sheep being very docile, being very meek, timid, and very beloved animals. It makes them a very easy prey for predators, animals that we know have a very strong tendency to flock together, who desire to be found with one another. And Christ elsewhere says, "I am the good shepherd." Is that not beautiful? He is himself the Lamb of God. We reread, "Meek he is and lowly in heart, and so he is also as a shepherd of his sheep." Thus, the relation between Christ and his church is a very tender relation. It is a relation and that is founded in love. Love is the spring. Love is the fountainhead of the relation between Christ and his church. That is, already from eternity, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." And we can read when the Lord brought his people, led his people like a flock through the wilderness, and that Moses says that the Lord has cared for that people even as the apple of his eye. So what is more tender than the apple of our eye? My lambs. Thus Christ, he says, "I have not only a flock, I have not only sheep, but I have also lambs, little ones born in that flock, and they are not yet the mature of that flock." And what a care that a shepherd has for those little lambs. Because if the sheep are tender, well, then we have the lambs, and those lambs, we would say, they are the tender of the tender. They are the most tender. They are those who are especially needing to be watched over and to be protected by that shepherd. What did David say, boys and girls? David says, "There came a lion and a bear, and they took a lamb out of the flock." Because those little lambs, they are the most vulnerable. And then what do you think David said? He did not say, "Well, That is a dangerous animal, that lion. It is only a lamb. No, that little lamb that was very, very dear unto David. And in its vulnerability, then the shepherd, as he that had to care for those sheep, he feels his responsibility to care for his lamb. Lamb is very small, but the lamb is a most precious part of that flock. All you need to do is ask, and the shepherds and that are among us, and though they be small, then they know and that with the proper care and the tender care of that shepherd, then those lambs will flourish and they will grow. My lambs. Thus Christ acknowledges the lambs. He says, they are my own. Not just the older ones, the older sheep, his older, more experienced church, no, but also those little ones. He says, they are my own. Can be that the Lord converts his people when they are very young. We read Obadiah said that he, thy servant, he says, he feared the Lord from his youth. Can we say that too? Or are there youth? Are there children? Are there little ones that fear the Lord in the midst of us? Because the Lord is the same today as he ever was. And then it is sometimes like with David, boys and girls, do you ask the Lord for that, young people? Because that is such a privilege when we may be as a Timothy, that we may be instructed, when we may be brought in the church, when we may have a father and mother that are serious about teaching us and to have us taught and to bring us to God's house. And then the Lord is able to bless those means. Do you ask the Lord? Because if the Lord will convert us in our youth, that is such a very suitable thing. Because the youth is a time of great tenderness. Only ask those that have become older. How that they say, the older, the colder. Thus, the tenderness of youth and then the tenderness of the fear of the Lord and the tenderness of the Lord in caring for those little lambs. What a beautiful suitability that there is in the conversion of a little child. So very, very fitting. My lambs. The Lord said to Abraham, when thy male children are 8 days old, then they were to be circumcised. And why? Because they are my lambs. It is not only the sheep, it is not only Abraham, it is not only those who are mature of understanding and spiritual life, but also those little ones. He says, they are mine. And now this inclusion of the lambs has never been retracted in the church. You cannot find that from Genesis to Revelations. You cannot find it in the New Testament that the Lord has now taken that back, what he has said in the Old Testament, and when he made baptism now to come into in the place of circumcision, that the Lord anywhere has says, I no longer am going to include the lambs, the little ones. And therefore we have no authority, because it lays not in the Word of God. We have no authority to exclude the lambs. things. That would be for us to exclude whom the Lord includes. And woe be to us if we will exclude who the Lord includes. Of course, we do not know who that they are. His own true lambs, we don't know that. But the Lord knoweth them that are his. Esau also had to be circumcised. No, he was not a true lamb. He belonged, actually, we would say, among the goats. And yet it was the will of the Lord, the institution of the Lord, in an outward way, that also Esau would be circumcised. Now why? Because the basis of circumcision, baptism, that sacrament, is not subjective. The basis of that is not on an individual, upon the conversion of an individual, the person who is being baptized, but the basis of the baptism of our children is objective. That is done because of the command of the Lord. You say, well, can a child, young people, can a child be converted if he is not baptized? Oh, yes, of course. You say baptism is not necessary for true conversion. And thus, to miss circumcision, that was not dangerous. 40 years in the wilderness, and the children of Israel were not circumcised. But what is dangerous? That is to despise that institution of the Lord. That is what we read that Moses did. Then we can read how that his wife, she has suddenly circumcised the child because, and then she says, a bloody husband art thou unto me. Oh, she did not want him to be circumcised, but the Lord, we read, sought to slay Moses. And when he has forborne to circumcise his son, because the Lord says, they that honor me, I will honor, but they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And what is now the Lord Jesus say? He says, suffer those children. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Of such. What does that mean? Well, that means that the Lord Jesus made a picture of his true people from those children. Thus he says, except ye become converted and become as little children, ye cannot enter into that kingdom of God. Thus, in conversion, in true children, in true conversion, the Lord is making a person to become as a little child. He makes him to become as a lamb. You can read that when Saul was coming into Jerusalem and he wanted to join himself unto those disciples of the Lord, then we read they were all afraid of him. Why? Well, because he was a persecutor of the church. And then we read that Barnabas, he took him and he explained how the Lord had converted him, how the Lord had made him from a lion into a lamb. My lambs. Is that congregation not such a beautiful expression? My lambs. Because there is nothing that a truly converted person desires more than that he would be the Lord's child. than that the Lord would own him, that the Lord would be my God, and that I may be his child. And here the Lord is owning those little ones. Oh, they are young. So they have just entered now into that flock. We say they are now newly converted. They are born into a new life. They have come forth from the womb of darkness, and they are brought out into the light. Oh, a new life. What kind of life? A new spiritual life. They did not know spiritual life before. But now they are brought into that spiritual world. Do they have assurance? Oh, no. Oh, their faith is so very, very small. So many times they fear that there is no faith at all. And yet you know what the Lord Jesus says of them? He says, my lambs. They have so very little knowledge. Little knowledge of themselves. They have so little knowledge of the Lord. But you know, we read in God's word that they go forth by the footsteps of the flock. Oh, there they are found in the company of the Lord. Do you know what the Lord says of them? My lambs. They desire the sincere milk of the word. Oh, you find them in that house of the Lord. Do you know what he says of them? My lambs. Oh, they are little. But those little lambs, they can have a very strong suck. Oh, when they are healthy and well, that is by the design of the Creator, that when they are very young, that they may be nourished. And now by the same design of the Redeemer, oh, then we have those little lambs, those new ones, we would say, oh, such a strong suck in those people, such a strong desire for food, for drink, such a hunger, such a thirst. And when you will ask that shepherd, you say, oh, if you take one of those little lambs and he is not healthy, and sometimes I understand and they have to get them to drink, and that is then very difficult for them to nourish that lamb. But now when that lamb is healthy, and it is well, then it is not so difficult to feed that lamb. Do you understand where we're coming from, young people? Oh, then it is not so difficult to feed those who come up to the house of the Lord. And with that healthy desire of spiritual, true spiritual life, why do they get something? Why do they eat? Why do they drink? And why does the Lord bless his word? Because there is hunger. Because there is thirst. Oh, there is nothing that can substitute that true regeneration. And thus, in such a way, it becomes so much easier than to care for those lambs. That is our second thought. Feed my lambs. And to whom does the Lord say that? He says that unto Peter. They are Christ's lambs. And here Christ is caring for those lambs. He is going to provide for those lambs in the future. Because when he was here upon the earth, then we know that he fed those lambs himself. Oh, then we can read in God's word how that he has said, oh, make the men sit down in the grass. Oh, he put those sheep, those lambs together in that grass. And there he fed them. There he fed them with food from heaven. We can read how that he went up into a mountain. And there he spoke. And there he gave instruction. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Oh, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so he stood with those lambs as that great shepherd when he was here in this world. But now he is risen from the dead. Now he is going to leave this world with his natural body, and he is going to provide for his sheep, and he is going to provide in a special way. Here we read, even for those lambs, he is going to give under shepherds. Oh, parents, oh, do we ever think about that? Or do we take it so for granted that we have the preaching, that we have the reading of God's word? But how will that be in the future? Because man, every man goes to his long home. Oh, is there then a cry in our heart for those little lambs, for our children, that the Lord will send forth those that may feed those children in the years to come? He is now going his own way. And thus he is speaking, we read here, unto Peter. And who is Peter? You say that is a disciple of the Lord. Yes. But we know Peter did something, children. What did Peter do? Peter denied the Lord. He said that he did not know the Lord. Was that true? No, that was not true. Not at all. Peter loved the Lord with all his heart. Why did Peter do that? He was afraid. Are you afraid sometimes? You are with people who don't believe maybe in God and the Lord Jesus, and you are in the world and you have to eat, and you look around, you say, well, should I fold my hands and close my eyes because those people, they may mock with me? Are you afraid? Oh, that fear of man that is living in all of our hearts, and that is so often coming out, and when we have to stand in the midst of this world, and when we have to say to a man, oh, do not use the name of the Lord in such a way. Oh, then that fear of man. How often is that fear of man not coming out into the foreground in our life? And that was with Peter too. And Peter wept. He wept bitterly for his sin. Oh, Peter came into the guilt. Did we ever come into the guilt with our sin? Because without repentance, there is no forgiveness, only a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. But now, when a man may come in the way of true repentance, you know what David says then? And David knew it well too. Then David says, there is forgiveness with thee, and that thou mayest be feared. And so that is also with Peter. Oh, the Lord came to Peter. We read he appeared unto Peter, but we don't know what happened there. That was a sin against the Lord, and the Lord came to Peter, and when Peter was weeping, did the Lord ever come to you when you were weeping, when you were in your inner closet, when you could not appear before men because of your iniquity? Oh, then the Lord came, and the Lord appeared unto Peter. And now the Lord restores Peter into his office in front of all the other disciples. Then he says, "Feed my lambs." And he draws out from Peter a confession that Peter says, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." That was the truth. Oh, now you say it, Peter. Now you say it right. And the Lord knew that that was right. And now the Lord says, "Peter, feed my lambs." Why? Because he had warned Peter. He had warned Peter beforehand about his fall and foretold him everything and also permitted, because Peter later will say, kept, that we need to be kept by that power of God. Oh, he knew that well, but the Lord permitted him in that moment, that fear of man to take hold of him. And why? Oh, the Lord was preparing him. He was preparing Peter to feed his lambs. But let us sing a moment from 348, 1, 3, and 4. "With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there, and bow before him there." That is the desire of the lambs. 1, 3, and 4 of 348.
Thank you.
feed my lambs. And later he says here, feed my sheep, two times. But he begins first with the lambs. And why? Well, Peter needed to be prepared to feed those lambs. Philpott writes about a preaching in which he compares to the sheep being beaten over the head with the rod. And then he speaks about under shepherds, and that to abuse those timid sheep. And so that is also when those lambs are excluded from that flock of God. Peter had been standing too high to feed the lambs of Christ. If he would just have begun to preach, he would have offended many of those little lambs. He was warned that he was going to fall, but he thought himself above falling, and he thought himself above all the rest of the disciples, all the rest of the people of God. Though all men should be offended, yet he says, will not I. Oh, great love in the heart of Peter, and much zeal in the heart of Peter, but little knowledge. Little knowledge of himself, little knowledge of the Lord, and little knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that now not so often the case? Also with those little lambs of Christ's flock, oh, then there is so much love. It is burning in their heart. Oh, how happy they are, boys and girls, when it is the Sabbath day. And when they may come unto the house of the Lord with the people of God, oh, there they want to sing unto the Lord. So much love, so much zeal. Oh, but, oh, they do not yet know so much about their own heart, about their own soul. Do you know, sometimes they are looking at the people of the Lord. You know, it says in the Bible, speaks about the bride, right? You have the daughters of Jerusalem, the young ones, and then you have the bride, and the bride, she is laying on that bed of slothfulness. You know, sometimes you have those young ones, and they look at the older ones, some of those older sheep, and they say, wow, how can that be? How can that be? And they are placing themselves above those sheep of the Lord. In their heart, maybe they do not say it, but you know, Ahab, he said to Ben-Hadad, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast as he that taketh it off. Let not him that has yet to enter into the army boast as if he has already won the battle. Oh, because those lambs, oh, they have yet to come into that battlefield. They have yet to face that enemy right on. They have yet to receive a few blows, a few wounds, a few scars from that battle. Feed my lambs. How much instruction those little lambs need. Very gentle instruction. We sang that together. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, what do you think? Do you think Peter is, when he is going to be preaching now, he's going to make those little lambs think that they are more than what they are? That they are higher than what is true? Because that is so common today. So common. That the young, they are placing themselves so high in their own estimation among that people of the Lord. Peter will not do that. No, you can read his epistle. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The Lord gave you a taste. A taste. That is what you have received. And now with that taste, do not fly too high, no. He says, but now desire more. More. And desire that sincere milk of the word. Feed my lambs. The Lord Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they know me and they follow me. The little lambs, of course, they do not yet know. They are just born. They do not yet know and they do not yet follow that shepherd. That will take some time. And in the meantime, what? Oh, they need then to just enter into that flock, to stay close unto the sheep. Because there, when they will stay close to that flock, then they will be led by the Lord and they will begin to see and experience how that the Lord is leading his own people. Think about Ruth. How was that? She said it was not first Boaz that she saw. No, it was her mother-in-law, that blessed mother in Israel. Oh, and she wanted to stay close to her. Because when she saw in her that grace of God, then she desired that she also may be a partaker thereof. And then Naomi is leading her. When the Lord is leading Naomi, and back unto her place, and there you see following that little lamb. And how gentle was Boaz when he saw that lamb on his own field. Oh, then he spoke to her so lovingly. Oh, he encouraged her. He said, do not go now to any other field. Just stay here now by my maidens. And he fed her and he reached her parched corn. Feed my lambs. Thus the Lord is providing under shepherds, not only for the sheep, but also for the lambs. Those who are not too high. And if they are too high, then they have first to be brought down. Oh, that fear of man, so often the trait in those little lambs. Peter now understood this. Peter was not too high for them. Oh, he writes that in his epistle. Read it when you come home. There you can read. Now he speaks about the trial of your faith. Oh, he knew what that was. The trial of his faith. And why? He says, because that faith that is much more precious than gold that perishes. He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. For what? Well, because Christ, he says, has suffered in the flesh. And then your way, that is going to go the same way in order that there may be a trial of that precious faith. Feed my lambs. Oh, those precious, those little lambs. So much hope and so much expectation in those little lambs, within the lamb, but also within that shepherd. Because in those lambs there is growth. He sees growth there in his flock. And they can add a shepherd. He can bring in sheep from another flock. And then his flock will grow. But those lambs, oh, they are a special kind of growth, a beautiful kind of growth, a growth that is coming from the inside. And it is a new beginning. A new beginning from the Lord, because man is not able to give life. And these little lambs, oh, they are such an encouragement unto the people of the Lord. There is such a singing in heaven, we read, over one sinner that repented. Oh, and when God's people, those sheep, and those shepherds, oh, when they may see the fruit of that true regeneration, and they may see a lion made into a lamb, oh, then there is such a singing in their heart, and such a gladness in the heart, that is with the growth of that church of God, not just in an outward way, when our children are brought into that visible church, but now that growth. And that rejoicing in the heart of God's people and of God's servants. And when those little lambs may be born. Oh, what a responsibility that the Lord gave unto Peter. When he said to him, "Feed my lambs." But what a blessing that the Lord gave unto his church by sending Peter, by sending just that man, when the Lord instructed that man, and when the Lord sent him forth, oh, that is not such a different responsibility, mothers, when we think about what you are called to do. When every day you are called in your home to be taking care of and instructing your own children, and that can be a very tiresome task. And we hope that the Lord may give you strength for the labors and that he has placed upon your shoulder. But it is also such an important task. Just think about that sometimes. Than it can be. Is that your hope? That you are bringing up a lamb. A lamb. And that is not so different than your responsibilities also, fathers. As the head of a household. And all of us. Fathers and of mothers. When we have children. When we have seed. Oh, do you ever look? Do you ever look at your children? Do you ever see once that tenderness, not just of a child that is in this world, a child's heart, but do you ever see the tender fear of the Lord in one of your children? That your child says, "I do not want to do it. I cannot do it. Because I do not want to sin against the Lord." Or do you ever say in your heart, "Oh, who can tell if that could be a little lamb? If that could be a little lamb." Would that now be an answer, parents, to your supplications when you're in your closet, when you're on your knees, that the Lord may bless all the means that are put forth in the house of God, in your home, and in the school, all do we ask of song. Now for the future. Oh, what will the future hold for our children? What will it now hold? And who now will go before them to bring that word of God? Who will now be taught? Who will now be humbled, even as a Peter of old? Oh, do we ask then for this? That the Lord may convert, that the Lord may call, and that the Lord may send forth men of his own choosing, and that the Lord may say unto them, feed my lambs. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who art the great shepherd of thy sheep, and who hast thy own sheep, thy own fold, even to this very day, that thou mayst send forth men who may be truly converted and called by thee, and that thou mayst thrust forth those who are not able to go forth in their own strength. O Lord, remember us and our children, the rising generation. Bless word and sacrament. Wilt thou take of thy Spirit and send him forth amongst us, that fathers and mothers may know and feel thy grace within their own hearts, that they may know and feel their obligations and their impossibilities, and that they may be brought continually to thy footstool. Bring us safely to our places this day. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 283, 1, 2, and 3. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all that is and all within me bless his holy name. 1, 2, and 3 of 283, and more if necessary for the collection. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.